Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It is always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God, so that we could join together in fellowship and explore on the Word of God. And it's now an opportunity that God has given us to come together tonight. I thank God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I give all honor and praise unto them. Tonight is a good night. God allowed us to see another Wednesday. And we know with everything that's going on in the world, plenty of people didn't make it. But God saw fit that each and every one of us is still here. God decided in his master plan before the foundation of the world that we would still be here on today and this night. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. And it's not because we're so good. Lord, I know many Christians have gone home. So it's not a Christian thing that just allow people to live. It's a God thing, dealing with his Christians and all of his creation, the saved as well as the unsaved. God said he allows the sun to shine on the just as well as the unjust. God has a master plan, and his will going to be done. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and join us in the Word of God. Our title tonight is Sin Always Promised More Than It Can Give. Sin always, and I put the always in there. Sin always promises more than it can give. We're coming in out of the book of Luke tonight, y'all. The 15th chapter, the 11th through the 20th verse. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. And we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace. And then we're going to expound on the word of God tonight for a little while. God ordained this, y'all. God decided that we would be here tonight to let all of us get the best and everything that we can get from what the Holy Spirit is going to give us on the night, how he's going to reveal God unto us through the word, and how we are here what the Spirit has to say on tonight. So I'm going to play the song at this time, and we're going to come back. And we're going to explore the Word of God together.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You
cannot
imagine the strongholds and the walls that you
face. But God has been faithful.
God has been faithful.
anguish and the guilt that consume me. Grateful I can tell it, for no more shall the shackle condemn me. You don't know my story.
You just don't know.
For if you did, you would lift up your hand. So just let me tell you, faith you may as well break out and dance.
I love this about God, because even though I'm not perfect,
he would never leave
me.
My story proves that God can
be. And my deliverance.
And
what I want to share is my testimony.
You don't know.
Somebody needs to know
my story.
It
would blow your mind.
Can I get a witness?
You don't know
my story.
My story.
And it's through my testimony.
Through my testimony.
That I overcome.
And the blood you shed.
I've been delivered. I've been set free. Now I have a testimony. Thank you for bringing me out. You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life and favor.
God, thank you for your mercy.
God of mercy.
And you love me. Life and favor.
Life and favor upon me.
Oh, how wondrous.
Oh, how wonderful.
God is my story.
Upon me.
You wouldn't believe my real testimony. Can't imagine. Some people, they walked out on me and they gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it, but God brought me out.
All the things I've gone through.
If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we take it up?
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
Here is my story.
And that song was "You Don't Know My Story." It's amazing that all of us have a story. Story be told. But through it all, we're still standing. Through it all, we're still here. And through it all, God is still holding us in the palm of his hand. At this time, it's time for us to go to God's throne of grace, where mercy can be found. And if anyone would like to pray at this time, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic and you could pray. If anyone would like to pray, God is affording an opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, God, I take time right now. Lord, I come to your throne of grace where mercy could be found. Lord, I come before you that you would be in your presence of the Holy Spirit would abide with us in this Bible study on tonight. Lord, there's nothing that we can do without coming to you first. And Lord, I bow down at your feet, letting you know that I am in position to only be used by you. But Lord, I'm asking for your power and your strength that you would give us a word from on high, that it would be something that the people can use in growing grace and the knowledge of you. Lord, I pray that the word that go forth on the night don't return void. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit give illumination and revelation. And Lord, I'm thanking you in advance for what you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I decrease and you increase. Have your way with this hour on tonight is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to let everybody know and apologize that we weren't able to get on the line on last week. There was a problem in the studio when I arranged the studio time for last Wednesday night. You have to set in a time, and the time that was locked in was not the right time. It was a time that was stopping us at the 8:30 hour instead of starting us at the 8:30 hour. And that's why at 8:30, the studio shut off. So I apologize for any inconvenience. And I just thank God that he has allowed us to be here on tonight. Thank each and every one of you who had called in on last week. But glory be to God, he allowed us to be here tonight. And our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, the 11th through the 20th verse. You know that Luke is one of the writers of the Gospels. And Luke was a physician. And Luke was not a disciple. But God saw fit to allow Luke to write the book of Luke. And he didn't only write the book of Luke, but he wrote the book of Acts. And you need to know when Jesus walked the earth, Luke was not with him. His writing was not given to him by Jesus, but by witnesses. Luke didn't follow Jesus until after his resurrection. He began to believe. So we're in the book of Luke. The title of our lesson is Sin Always Promises More Than It Can Give. I think I ought to have a witness tonight. Sin always wrap the package up and it looks so good. Whatever it is, it looks so good. It's so enticing. It's so appealing. And it makes you, when Satan get in your mind and start telling you how good it look, how good it might feel, and what it's going to do for you and where it's going to bring you to. You know, Satan is a deceiver and a liar. So that's what he's speaking is not true. But when Satan get in our head and began to try to get us to accept his perception on whatever he's presenting, if we don't evict him out of our head, we may begin to accept his perception that it really do look good, that it really might feel good, that it really might be good. It could be, you know, your mind may, Satan will tell you this is what you've been looking for. This is what you should do. You know, it ain't going to hurt nothing. Why not? Well, I'll just try it. But some things that you dibble and dabble in and you begin to just try it and you really believe it's going to be a little while, sometime it lasts a lifetime. Sin. So I just want you to know that sin, I don't care if it's a big sin or a little sin, it promises more than it could ever give. And our lesson tonight is really about the prodigal son. I want you to know that word prodigal means reckless. It means really filthy. It can mean things that it's a person that do extravagant spending, wasteful to the highest degree. And the night lesson is about a prodigal son. And when you see the word prodigal, sometimes you can see the word decadence. And it always amazed me because the parades that they have for people of same sex, they call a parade decadence. So a long time ago, it made me go look up the definition of the word. And I was surprised to see the meaning of the word. And I wondered why they would choose to associate themselves with that word, flamboyant. I guess maybe because of that. And different things like that. But tonight the lesson is the prodigal son. And it's a parable. And we all know that a parable is a earthly story. But when you get down into the parable, it has a heavenly meaning. You see, in parables, God uses things that you're familiar with so that you can really understand what he's saying. Not only what you're familiar with, but he used words that you know how they're used to be able to fit it in and figure out the meaning and what those particular things do. And when he used it in a parable, you could know that that's what there was going to be done. A parable always places things besides one another, making comparisons so that the similarities could be noticed. Really and truly, a parable is a simple story illustrating a moral or religious lesson. Everybody can't understand a parable. When Jesus was asked by his disciples, he said, it's not for them if you don't have the Spirit of God, if you're not following God. When a parable is told, you can't understand the meaning because it's always lined up with spirituality. And if you haven't accepted Christ, are you not a follower of God, you wouldn't understand the spirituality to place the earthly next to it and come up with a meaning. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to talk about this young man. And what I'm doing right now is, it's not really a cheat sheet. But usually when you read a parable, you have to ponder and figure. But I'm going to give you some information up front right here, right now. So when we get into the lesson, you already have a head start. So I want you to know the main character in the parable is a forgiving father whose character remained constant throughout the story. You see, this father is compared to our heavenly father who's always forgiven, always constant, and cannot change. See, and Jesus is telling this story in the book of Luke, and Jesus is identifying himself with God concerning the lost. You were asked to read the whole chapter, and you would have thought that the chapter 15 starts off with a parable about a lost sheep. The parable talks about how it was for a good shepherd if he had a sheep, if he had 100 sheep and one of the sheep wandered off, that a good shepherd would leave the 99 sheep and go find the one. And when he found that one lost sheep, he would lay it across his shoulder and bring it to the fold. Talking about the loss, y'all. And then it was a parable about a coin in the same chapter that you were asked to read. And then a parable they had, a lady had a coin, and the coin was lost. And the lady did everything in her power to find it. She searched and searched till she found it, and then she rejoiced. And now we get into the parable where we at tonight. And this parable is called the parable of a lost son. And so I let you know that the father is compared to God. The young son in the parable symbolized the lost and is compared to tax collectors and sinners of that day, who was unfair and unjust in their dealings. And they gave the young boy the name Prodigal Son. The word prodigal, as I said earlier, is wasteful, spendthrift, extravagance, and it includes a degree of recklessness. And I could stop here and ask any one of y'all, do y'all know any prodigal sons or daughters today? And then the man had another son, which was the eldest son. And that son represents self-righteousness and is compared to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of that day. You see, the Pharisees talked a good talk, but they couldn't walk a good walk. You see, they knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. You know, they were legalistic. They always wanted a list of rules and rituals. And they wanted everybody to do them to the letter. And even them themselves couldn't do it. But they was always ready to point a finger. And that's how the elder son in this parable is. So we're going to start with it now. And I'm going to start at the 11th verse in the 15th chapter. And it reads as follows. And he said, this is Jesus talking, because he was being questioned by the Pharisees. They didn't want to know the answer to the questions. They wanted to trip Jesus up. They wanted Jesus gone by any means necessary. And oh yes, they was plotting his crucifixion in their hearts and in their minds. And they was ready to have him slip up on something that they could use against him. So when you look at this teaching that I'm saying on tonight, Jesus used this to try to get the lost souls and explain what his mission is really about when he told them about a shepherd. He was speaking of himself, the good shepherd, and how he concerned with the lost. So it says, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divide unto them their living. And not many days after the youngest son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. You see, the father wasn't even dead. And here he is asking for his portion. And the younger son would only get two-thirds, because one-third would belong to the eldest son because he was the oldest. Now, he asked it. I ain't saying it was a sin, but we know his father wasn't dead. But it shows his selfishness. He wanted what he wanted, and he wanted it now. And then usually when you have an inheritance, the person that owns everything usually has to die. And then it's distributed among whomever he designed for it to be distributed to. But he didn't want to wait for all of that. He wanted his, and he wanted it right now. He was ready to go somewhere else. He believed evidently in his heart that there was something better out there. You know, probably working with his dad and his brother had become boring to him. He wanted to sow his wild oats. He wanted to venture out. He wanted to check and see if the grass was truly greener on the other side. But I come to tell you tonight, don't you ever let the green grass fool you. It may look greener, but sometime once you get in it, you'll see the rotten roots. You can see where it's been eaten by bugs. Far off, and until you get into it, it may look greener, but don't let the green grass fool you. And that's the same way with sin. Sin always presents itself wrapped up, all pretty, bold with it, enticement written all over it and waiting for you to accept. You see, Satan can only play in our heads. And once Satan put his perception there and try to get us to accept it, many times we allow him to have space in our head to the perception that he planted there. We don't even remember where it came from, and we start looking at it as real, and we start looking at okay with it and being comfortable with it. And then we usually act upon it. Because after thinking and toying with it so long, we accept it. And once we accept the thought, it becomes our reality. And I come to tell you tonight, reality is not totally real, but it's real to the person that believes it. You got to understand that. That has become their reality. Today in the world, people who don't want to take the COVID shot, whatever was in their heads, and it's been in there for 18 months, and they began to agree with the perception that has been placed in their head. They're not taking other information from outside forces other than what's in their head. And now it's become their reality. And even though people are dying, you know, if I sit here and tell you tonight, I don't really have enough time. All of the excuses, well, I ain't going to call them excuses. All of the stories people say, why they're not taking a shot. And if you ask a lot of people, they can't even tell you why. But you see, it's a perception that has been placed in their head. And it became their reality. And it's not just with the COVID shot. It could be with lifestyle. You know, our boys on the street, the reality that's been placed in their head is that it's all right to kill somebody if somebody disrespect me. And you see, Satan wrapped it up so pretty for them till they think that's going to make them some kind of something. They evidently don't mind going to jail, even though they do it and they run and they hide. They have enough evidence that if you do those kind of things, where you're going to end up. But none of that is getting in their head. And they can't see anything through their eyes because Satan has put a veil on their eyes. And all they could, come on, y'all. See, Jesus is the light. They can't see Jesus, the light. They can't see love. They have blinders on. And Satan is having free rein in their head. And he's feeding them lies, deception. And making it seem real to them. So when we look at this young son, you know, he wanted to leave. And it's so amazing, you know, like, you know, he could have left on his own. But you see, he was selfish as well. He wanted to go and do his thing, but he wanted his father's money to do it. His father had worked all of those years. And he wants a portion of it right now to go and do what he wanted to do. And verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to want. Everything was drying up. And look what the verse says before that. He had done already, that same verse said, he spent everything he had, and then on top of that was a famine. You see, the rubber meeting the road. He had nothing. And because of the famine, there's nothing much that he could get. Sin didn't address that with him. What about if you get caught by the police? Sin didn't tell him that. There's a possibility you might go to jail for life. It didn't mention that. If you see this money and you just want to take it, you want money. You don't want to go to work. Sin tell him you don't have to work. What you could do is go out there and you see an old lady take a purse. Sin say you don't. You could drive a different car every day because all you got to go do is call Jack. I saw some call Jackins where the person in the car was trying to run and get away in a car wreck and he died. Sin didn't tell him that. Sin just say, do it. Do it. But he had spent all he had, and there was a famine. And verse 15 says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. What they're saying, he went and joined himself. He went and took a job by a citizen of that country. And the reason they say city of that citizen of that country, because to him it's a stranger. And he sent him into his field to feed the swine. Now, you know, this boy is an Israelite. He's a Jew. And Jews do not associate with swine, which is a pig. So it's showing the destitute state that he got in. The only thing that was offering, and he began to do it. And verse 16 say, and he would fain, mean the words, the definition for that is gladly, have his belly filled with the hawks that the swine did eat. And no man would give unto him. And I know this from experiences. Many times people who live on the street and live by the street, you know, long as it could be somebody maybe selling drugs and handling a lot of money, long as you're up, everybody love you. But get down on your luck. There's an old saying that everybody loves the winner. And it's amazed me, long as you have something, you could get something. But when you don't have nothing, the hardest thing in the world for you is to get something. People be willing to give people that already have many times than give those who don't have. Come on, y'all. Now he's ready to eat the food that the pig ate because that's all was available to him. He had money. He spent it. He didn't prepare for his future. And the famine came. Come on, y'all. He got a job doing a detestable job that he wouldn't even do for his father. And now he's ready to eat the pig food. Sin always promises more than it gives. And I don't know exactly what sin told him. But I can imagine it says, okay, let's back it up a little bit. It is apparent that his father was loving because his father agreed. He didn't get bent out of shape. It appears that the father was sort of spiritual to some degree, and we're going to see why even more. So he was raised in a home like that. And, you know, maybe, you know, I hear people all the time say, not all the time, but I've heard many people say, especially people whose father may be a preacher, you know, and they can't wait to get out the house. Some of them even say it, when I get out of my parents' house, I'm going to go to church when I want to. You see, he wanted to go test the waters on the other side. And he did. And he was enticed by sin. His father didn't entice him. God didn't entice him to do it. So it had to be sin, which is brought on by Satan. You see, and what happened in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to share, and I perish with hunger? He looking back now, he reflecting. You know, they tell you sometimes you got to hit rock bottom before you look up. See, he's thinking now. Because let me tell you why. You see, Satan have a way of setting you up to let you down. If you notice in the book of Job, when Satan was having his way with Job, hallelujah, Shunda, Satan was doing everything and anything. And he couldn't do nothing unless he asked God. And he couldn't go no further. But as soon as God allowed Satan to do all that he would allow Satan to do with Job, there's many more books in the, many more chapters in the book of Psalms, but you never hear nothing about Satan. Satan packed up and left. So you see, when this prodigal son had spent all he had, the famine came. He working for strangers. He eating the pig's food. Satan packed up and left. He had him right where he wanted. There was no more low he could go. And he looked up. And when he came, verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and more to share? And here I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's what I'm telling you. The dad is a spiritual man. How many times children come out of spiritual homes? Not all of those boys on the street is coming from non-spiritual homes and not the right influence and not given the right direction to go by and not being taught. Look what the boy said, so you know he was taught. He said, I will rise and go to my father and will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And verse 19, and I'm now more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy high servants. You see, that's where the repentance is. You know, he was being ruled by the world standard, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You see, you know, that's all he was dealing in. But now he reflects and he think about the goodness of God, and he think about the goodness of his father. And he think about all of these things. And he say, I'm not even worthy. You see, I'm not worthy to be your son. He said, just hire me back as a servant. You see, the pride was gone. The boasting had died. And now he's humble. And that's true repentance. And he rose and came to his father. But when he had yet a great way off, his father saw him coming, y'all. He goes on to say, and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Many of our children and family members or friends we know, they might have got on the wrong track. They might have let Satan play in their head too much and come up with an unrealistic reality. But our job that Jesus is teaching in his parable, for us to do as the Father did, when the father saw him coming back, he didn't tell you, I told you so. What happened to your money? When the father saw him, he had compassion. There's a rule of thumb that I love to use when I talked to all of the young men in jail and gone the wrong way, or women who lost their way and things like that. You never take, I call it beating a dead horse. If a horse is already dead, why would you take a stick and beat him? See, these people are spiritually dead, and some of them is on the brink of being physically dead. So why you beat up on the men? They weak. Taking advantage. But where's the love? When the father saw him and had compassion, the father ran to him. Are we reaching out to others? With kind words. Are we always telling them what they ain't? Just like this boy in his story, he knew what he was when he hit rock bottom or when he began to meditate. He said, I sinned against my father. And I sinned against God. You got to be there waiting for them with open arms like the father, ready to receive them when they come. And our job is to keep praying for them. The son, the father never forgot his son. And he probably prayed. They don't give us how much time it was. But the father was constantly praying for his, because he didn't know if his son was dead or alive. But he had hope. And he trusted God. When the son began to reflect on his condition, he realized that his father's workers are better off than him. He was, you know, satisfied to return as a slave. But the father restored him back to full privileges. And you see, sometimes when people turn their life around and they come in, they ain't going to be changed sometime overnight. But what the father did, he restored them back with full privileges. This is what God does for repentant sinners. Repentant sinners. That's us, y'all. Not only are we forgiven, come and became heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. God has a still in his hand. And for the person that never accepted Christ, when they come in with full benefits. Come on, y'all. That's why he said the first could be last and the last could be first. No big eyes and no little U's. Your time with Jesus don't supersize. This not like a job where you have seniority. Come on, y'all. Stored him with full privileges. And this is what God does with repentant sinners. Let's say if Jesus hadn't forgiven us, and let's just say all of our wrongdoing that we ever did, our sins and our mess up and all of the things we've done in the dark. Take all of those things and line them up. And remove the blood of Jesus from off of them. Now look at the picture. When the boy came back, the father ordered a robe to put on him. And when you had a robe, it was a sign of honor. He gave him a ring, which was a sign of sonship, S-O-N, ship, and authority. And he gave him sandals for his feet. And those who had sandals indicated that they weren't slaves. You see, when we receive Christ upon salvation, we receive a role of the Redeemer. The robe of the Redeemer is righteousness. We could never be righteous enough to save ourselves. So when we accepted Christ, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, God gave us a robe of redemption that covered us with the righteousness of God. And he gave us sandals fitted for the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The dad did for his son what God is doing for us. And you see, a fatted calf was killed and prepared. Notice that blood was shed. You see, there's always got to shed blood. The God, the Father went and did what was necessary. The blood was shed for the atonement, for the sins. And whenever they got a calf and killed it, it's always because they had a special guest. This is a parable, y'all. And if you look in your Bible in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, the writing is in red. So this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus is telling us how God looks at some of the who haven't accepted Christ and some of the Christians that may have lost their way. Some Christians that haven't lost their way but begin to do things that are not of God. He's given us example how we should treat one another, how we should treat the lost when they come in, how we should act to try to get them to come in, and how we should act once they come in. I thank Jesus for this lesson. And if you read further, hallelujah, we never got to the eldest son. You see, the boy came home and the daddy treated him righteously. The elder boy didn't like it because he said, I didn't leave and I've been here with you. Y'all know what that jealousy is. That's a spirit. And now he come back. He said, you never gave me a fatty calf. But the dad could have told him, you eat three meals, good meals, anything you want, whenever you want. But he's going to talk about the calf that the dad killed for the son that returned home. You see, he was only focusing on himself. He began to deal with issues of injustice and equality and failed to see the value of his brother's repentance and return. He preferred to nurse his anger rather than enjoy fellowship with his father and his brother. He chose suffering and isolation over restoration and reconciliation. He sees his brother return as a threat to his own inheritance, and he didn't know what it was his is his, and he's going to get even more because he didn't take anything out. He's going to have double for not leaving, and what he's looking at is trouble now. You see, the Lord does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquity. God is not sitting on his throne with a people and temple taking score on your wrongs. He do love your rights, and he rewards us for them. Instead of condemnation, there's rejoicing for the son or daughter who was not once dead, but now alive, was once lost, but now is found. Notice the parallel between dead and alive and lost and found. Terms that also applies to one state before and after conversion to Christ. This is a picture of what occurs in heaven over one repentant sinner. You know, they say when one person accepts Christ, the angels in heaven rejoice. And as I close with our lesson tonight, I'll tell you again, don't let the stress hold you. And whatever Satan is presenting in your mind, and you got it looking all good. Y'all know.
Come on, y'all. That you bought that big old house that you couldn't afford. That maybe you start dibbling and dabbling and you know, drugs or whatever, and you know, you got a hook. You know, all of these things. But I want to tell you tonight, when Jesus died on the cross on Calvary, and when he hung his head to the side, he said, "It is finished." He was saying that he came and he did all that his Father wanted him to do for the redemption of the people to have eternal life and not die and go to hell and damnation. He said, "It's finished." But I come to tell you tonight, Jesus said he has accomplished everything it is necessary that once you accept him with your whole heart, that your sins will no longer belong to you. He said, but those consequences for your sins, you're going to have to pay. All sins that are created is created in a body, and the body is wrapped in a flesh, and the flesh definition is sin. He says, so those sins you're going to have to pay for in the flesh, in this world. Because look at it like this, y'all. When Jesus come back and take us, and he bring us to present us to the Father in heaven, no sin can follow you in heaven. Come on, y'all. People talk about God going to look at the sin. God say, when I see you, since you accepted my son, I could only see my son. And again, tonight, I just want you to know that sin always promises more than it can give. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions? Anybody want to talk about any experience or just such an agree that they do understand? And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I know, you know, that record that was on earlier, you don't know my story. So I know sin always promised more than it could give. Anyone has anything they would like to say at this time? You can. But I pray that you enjoyed the lesson on tonight. And at this time, we'll have our benediction. And I'll just say that I pray that God be with you until we meet again. I pray that God grant you all the desires of your heart. I pray that even in the midst of everything that's going on around us, that we keep our sights on Jesus, and that we realize that the pandemic, the wars, the rumor of the wars, the earthquakes, and everything else is not taking God by surprise. God knew all of this, and he still tells us in his word that he will work all things out together for our good, and those weapons that is forming against us will not prosper. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, I'll meet you back Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour. Until then, be blessed.